Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we gather in worship this morning, we recognize that we begin to reflect and remember the glorious redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the privilege of doing that from year to year. And we do that in first remembering the Advent, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the way to His glorious ascension, and as He's seated at the right hand of God, that He pours out His Holy Spirit. And in way of Advent, we recognize that indeed He has come and He is coming again. And so therefore, as we meditate upon His works, may we do so with the psalmist. I remember the days of old and meditate on all your works and muse on the works of your hands. And that we would then also remember not to hide them from our children, but telling them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done, that they might tell the next generation and the next generation, as we find in Psalm 78. And what a privilege it is to do so also in conjunction with the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 5 and 6, where we find there the section of our misery is now completed, and the way of deliverance is being opened in Lord's Day 5. I'd like to just read that, Lord's Day 5. And next week we'll look at Lord's Day 6 also in relationship to this mediator. But today I would like to open this up, especially from Revelation 4 and 5, primarily 5, as we understand that there is a mediator who's accepted by God. We find here in Lord's Day 5, it's on page 31 in the back of our Psalter. Page 31, we look at question and answer 12, 13, 14, and 15. Question 12, since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we can escape that punishment and be again received into favor? And the answer is, God will have His justice satisfied. And therefore, we must make this full satisfaction, either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man had committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Answer, for one who is very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very perfectly God. I'd like to also reflect on this, especially from Revelation 5, where you see this quest, this search for a mediator also in, I'd like to just read the first few verses here, Revelation 5. And I saw on the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. I'd like to look at this in its context of Revelation 4 and 5 and even 6 and 7 with the theme, the throne room of heaven opened to behold the Lamb. First, we'll see humanity's problem of having closed seals. Secondly, heaven's prescription of a conquering Savior. And thirdly, heaven's produce, that produce of a climactic song. In Revelation 4, we find there this throne room of God being opened up. If we realize that John here is on the island of Patmos, and he has seen in the first three chapters of Revelation that a great encouragement that Jesus Christ is in the midst of the churches. He's walking through the churches. He's guiding his churches. Those churches who some of them have fallen away. Some of them have been faithful. But John here is on the island of Patmos, exiled, unable to do the work of the Lord among the churches. And there on the Lord's day, the Lord comes to him in the Spirit and he shows him things to come. Things that have happened, things that are happening, and things that are to come. And so here in chapter 4, after John has seen how Christ is with his churches, he sees heaven open and he sees the throne of God, the throne room of God. And there in this throne room are the four living creatures around the throne and the 24 elders around the throne. But on this throne sits the Lord God. And around that throne is a rainbow. And there's this throne is described in Revelation 4, verse 3. There's one as a jasper, a sardis stone in appearance. And there's a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Already there you see something of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God surrounding this throne. And there's worship in this throne. Certainly there's judgment, but there's much worship. Worship from the four living creatures. I'm not going to speculate on what that is, other than the whole of all of his creation has been redeemed and restored. And these four living creatures represent all of it. And it's in worship to God. And the 24 elders representing the Old Testament and New Testament, I believe. And these elders are worshiping the Lord, showing how he is worthy of all that he has done in way of creation. But in this creation, there's this dilemma in the throne room of God, and that's opened up in Revelation 5 for us. As John sees there in Revelation 5, one who's sitting on the throne in his right hand, there is a scroll. There is a scroll in his right hand. And in this scroll, humanity's problem is bound up because this scroll, this book of God, is sealed with seven seals. Now, this scroll represents God's plan for all of his creation in all ages. Especially his plan to reverse the curse that has been brought on by humanity, by Adam. And as this scroll is all bound up and rolled up, it's written on all sides. It's absolutely comprehensive. It's the complete will of God. There's no white spaces on this scroll. There's no uncertainties in this scroll. But the problem is, this scroll is bound up and it's sealed. It's sealed. Even though it's the complete will of God for all of his people, for all of his creation even, this scroll is sealed. And John on the island of Patmos would be greatly encouraged knowing that God has a comprehensive plan for all of his churches, especially as he's unable to minister to them and he recognizes the difficulties that are going on in these churches. It would be a great encouragement to know that God is working all things according to his plan, and this is a very detailed plan, one with absolutely no uncertainties. And that there's one who's sitting on the throne, orchestrating and mediating all that has in it for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That would be a great encouragement for John. The throne room of God in chapter 4. But the problem is presented to John when he sees the one who sits on the throne with the scroll all rolled up tightly, sealed with not one seal, not two seals, but seven seals. Absolutely sealed until there would be one who would be worthy to open that scroll and to mediate God's plan for his people for all of history. Undoubtedly, this question that comes loud and clear from the angel of the Lord throughout the throne room of God reverberates the whole throne room and shakes John to his core. This question, who is worthy to open these seals? Man in Adam once was called and created to be the steward of God, to accomplish his purposes for creation, to rule over creation perfectly, and to have dominion over it, now has fallen, and in his fall can no longer carry out this plan of God. And there must become one. One must come to be the mediator, to be the one who unrolls this scroll for us today and John in that day. Who is worthy to open this scroll? It will take one who is worthy, one who has honor, one who has respect, one who has value in order to open this scroll. The scroll is going to be by no means will it be opened by anyone who is not worthy. And without this scroll being opened, there's no protection for the children of God. There's no protection for John in bitter trial. There's no judgments upon a persecuting world. There's no triumph for believers. There's no heaven and no earth. There's no future inheritance for the people of God. So we need a mediator. We need someone who's worthy to open this scroll and to roll out the plan, the glorious plan of God's redemptive purposes. And what's John left with? Verse 3. No one in heaven. They looked in earth. No one. They looked under the earth. No one. No one was able to open the scroll. No one was even able to look at it. They couldn't find a human. For we read in the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They look for a human and they realize that humans only continue to add to the debt of sin, original sins, actual sins. They look to the elders and the elders can't. They look to the four living creatures and they can't. No one can open the scroll. No one in heaven. No one on earth. No one under the earth. No angels could open the scroll. Even the angels seek to peer into the glorious mystery of God's redemption, and they stand and have to say, "Holy, holy is the Lord." How can they even minister and mediate these things? When we find in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, these words, "To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, the things which angels desire to look into." If they can't even comprehend it, if they can't fully understand it, and they desire to look into it, how then could they mediate such a plan of redemption? And besides that, God had not prepared a way or ordained a way whereby angels could be saved. And that's why the Satan and all of his angels will perish forever in hell. And he looks to any other creature. And no other creature could satisfy the wrath of God, for they have not sinned like man has. And even all of the Old Testament animals that had been slain, none of them could appease the wrath of God. No mere creature could sustain the burden of God's wrath against sin, and not to be able to deliver others from it for sure. And so John wept much. Verse 4, "So I wept much," says John, "because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to even look at it." Stephen Charnock writes, "God apart from Christ is an angry, offended sovereign. And unless we behold him through Christ, the mediator, the terrors of his majesty, it would overwhelm us. We dare not approach the Father except in Christ because of our sins. We need a mediator. We need to fasten our eyes upon Christ, for we need him to bear our guilt and to reconcile us with God. The search is on. There needs to be a mediator." And this is the quest that John is on, to find this mediator. The sound has gone out in heaven, "Who is worthy?" And he weeps. He weeps because of his own spiritual needs. He weeps because he realizes he cannot mediate it, even though he was apostle that was closest to the heart of the Savior. He weeps of his own unworthiness. He weeps for the church. The churches that he saw in Revelation 1 through 3, some whom he had ministered to, even in Ephesus, and have lost their first love. Oh, how would this church ever be able to stand before God? You look to a church, even in our day, a church that is compromised, a church that is in decline. Christians today, we ought to be grieved when we seem to see God's will being frustrated, even through the decline of his church. And yet, we weep for the souls of our family members, of men, women, and children. We weep, but John, and sometimes we feel as if there's no answer. That silence reverberates and pierces the worship of heaven. Who is worthy? The worship is stopped. There's silence. It's good to reflect on that, as we recognize our own problems, humanity's problem. And yet, we don't stop reading in verse 4. We continue reading in verse 5. "One of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'" John says, the elder, "This is no time for weeping, because look and behold that Lion from the tribe of Judah, the one who is promised in Genesis, the one who is promised from the Lion of Judah, that would be Judah's Lion come, the one who would come as a divine warrior to come, the one who would be from the Root of David, the one who is promised in 2 Samuel 7, the one who was promised in Isaiah 11, the prophecy of the Root of Jesse, the one who would come to receive the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the one who would be worthy to open that scroll, to unleash all seven seals of it. He has overcome. John, would you look at this? Look at that lion from the tribe of Judah. And John looks, and what does he see? A lion? No, he sees a lamb. He sees a lamb. He sees a victorious Savior. He sees a lion lamb, for he is worthy. As he looks in the midst of the throne, he sees that mediator that's given to men. Notice what he sees in verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Here he stands in defense. He stands mediating between God who's on the throne and the 24 elders and the four living creatures that are representing all of humanity, all of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There he represents as mediator between God and man, reconciling us through his work. That's what a mediator does. He goes between an offended party and an offending party and makes them one again. He reconciles them, and he does so through his redemptive work on the cross. He sees a lamb slain. That lamb that was pointed to in the Old Testament in the Passover. The lamb slain that was prophesied of by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of the world, as he identifies the Lord Jesus Christ. That one who we will be married to in the marriage of the Lamb in Revelation 19. In the fullness of time, God has given this Lamb to suffer, to die, to be buried, but also to be risen, to be ascended to heaven. And now on his coronation day, he comes into heaven and he takes the scroll and he unlooses the seals because he is worthy. And as he takes the book, he alone becomes the executor, the administrator of God's eternal redemptive plan. He mediates between God on the throne and man to carry out his redemptive purpose. He comes, he takes the scroll, and he unleashes the seals. That is the work of our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that more next Lord's Day, as we reflect on the mediator. I want to see in the remaining time that we have what this work of our Lord Jesus Christ should produce in all of our lives. Turn with me to verse 8. Revelation 5, verse 8. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." There they were, closest to the throne. And they worship the Lamb. They worship the mediator. And they worship him with a full and a rich song as they ascend to this mediator. And they say, "You indeed are worthy. You indeed are worthy of worship because of what you have done as our mediator. You have ransomed us from Satan. You have delivered us from hell. You have redeemed us and restored us in relationship with God. He has restored us by his Spirit, and he has restored us even to offer this worship and service to God. Why? Because you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Impossible, because in Adam, we've all sinned. We've sinned and we've lost that right to be kings and priests to our God. But here he has restored us in service to the Lord our God because he is a worthy mediator. And this song resounds in heaven as we sing with a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." It's worship. They worship Christ alone who is worthy. They fall before the Lamb. And they say, you alone are worthy because of what you alone have done. And here they take their harps, the instruments of praise, and their voices to sing in praise to the Lord their God and their mediator. You are worthy. Notice this song. The song and this praise, and as it goes through heaven. Notice in verse 8 that each of them had this harp to praise God with the instruments that he's given. The prayers, the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They're praising, they're praying, and they're filled with joy and happiness and delight in his service as they worship him and as they serve him. There's restoration through this mediator. Just have to see the picture here. As we go on in verse 11, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. He heard the voice of the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. This week, I'm sure many of you will be going to choir concerts, and some of them might have 150 members, some of them even more members, and you'll be amazed by these choir concerts of the singing and the worship. But let us hear these words. There in this choir concert are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands, all worshiping and singing with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Praising him. A song sung by every creature in heaven. Worship. And every creature which is in heaven, we read in verse 13, and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. O dear congregation, what a day that will be. Song sung in praise and worship by the whole of this mediator's creation. Today, the creation, it groans under the power of sin. But there's coming a day when he's coming again, and the whole creation, the redeemed creation, will sing in his praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. When every knee will bend and every tongue will confess that he is Jesus Christ, to the praise of his heavenly Father, then there will be a resounding amen. Even as we read in verse 14, and the four living creatures said, amen. And this word amen here, it has emphasis. And it's emphasized as this was a thundering amen that thundered through heaven. It was a resounding amen. And that is what confronts you and me today. Do you and I say amen to such a Savior? Is he enough for you and for me? Heaven's opened. The throne of God, it's a majestic throne. It's a powerful throne. It's a throne radiates holiness and perfect justice. And thanks be to God, there is that rainbow around the throne. And that is only possible through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain to satisfy, to propitiate the wrath of God, and to take our sins and to take them far from the throne of God, that they would be remembered no more. And there on the throne of God, He receives all those who put their trust in Him, who believe in Him, who trust in Him. John 3, verse 36, He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God, it rests upon all who are outside of this mediator. All who refuse to bend the knee today and say with the four living creatures, Amen. Amen, there is a mediator between us and God. Amen, He's worthy of our worship. Amen, I will submit to this mediator. All who are outside of Him will perish in the wrath of God. He's available today. He calls to us, look unto me as a mediator, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. As that Philippian jailer in Acts was confronted with the reality of this mediator, he says, what should I do to be saved? And what does Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Look to Him. Heaven is opened for you and I today, this morning. It's opened. We see the justice of God, but we see the mercy of God. And we see this mediator that made it all possible. And we see His work has been accepted by the Father as He unrolls the scroll to find the purpose and the plan of God in redeeming all His people. And you can know today that when God redeems His people unto Himself, it's a perfect redemption. It's absolutely certain, because it's written to and fro, front and back. This scroll is complete and perfect. It's the unchangeable will of God to save His people from their sins. Do you say, Amen? And receive the blessing of the Lord and go to your homes in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.